Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Rocket Science here at Car Talk Plaza.
Very close, actually. Whoa, look at this. This is a letter from the NASA Lewis Research Center. Where are they? In Cleveland, one of my favorite cities.
Indeed.
Who is this guy? David Urban, PhD. I mean, do I have to say any more?
Dr. David Urban.
When Dr. Anastas Pat called your show recently concerning a low-gravity combustion question.
Ah, yes.
Remember? He wanted to know. What did he want to know?
If his engine is out, he would run in zero gravity.
Zero gravity, right. I was disappointed that he turned to you guys rather than the nation's Center for Excellence in Microgravity Combustion and Fluid Physics.
Well, he obviously didn't really want the answer.
Located at the NASA Lewis Research Center here in Cleveland. His question concerned whether his Audi 90 or his wife's Mazda Miata would function on NASA's KC-135 low-gravity aircraft, a.k.a. the Vomit Comet. I can see it now. As someone whose area of expertise is microgravity, never even heard the word before, microgravity combustion research, and who has conducted numerous combustion experiments on the KC-135, and who has also occasionally driven a car, I believe I am especially qualified to answer his question. While, to my knowledge, no one has made a detailed study of piston engine performance in microgravity, you will be gratified to hear that your response was largely correct.
Luck strikes again.
Since the fuel-air mixture in an engine cylinder burns very rapidly and the cylinders are small, the combustion process can be expected to be independent of gravity. We said that. If this were not the case, aircraft piston engines would perform poorly during acrobatic maneuvers. As you two astutely, parenthesis, or was it accidentally, see, this guy foresaw everything we said here, surmised, the combustion process and the injectors can be expected to perform acceptably. However, as only Tom seemed to understand, parenthesis, how unusual, almost all other fluid systems will fail. Yeah. For your edification, I am enclosing two articles on microgravity combustion with lots of pictures for the dummy. David Urban. Hey, David, it's always good to know that you lucked out at least once.
Once a week at least.
Once a week.
Well, let's see if we can luck out today. Let's take a call.
Yeah, let's.
If you want to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Julia from Austin, Texas.
Julia, how are you?
Julia.
I'm okay. How are you doing?
Good. You sound like you're a student.
That's a very good guess. I'm actually an undergraduate at the University of Texas at Austin.
No kidding.
Yeah, but I'm about to graduate in a couple of months, so.
In what?
Well, I'm actually going to be getting 2 degrees, one in liberal arts and one in microbiology.
And how do you plan to integrate these two fields of endeavor?
Says who?
Well, I'm going to med school, and when I graduate, I'd like to go into public health research.
And have you gotten into medical school already?
Yes, I'm actually going to be going to Southwestern this fall.
Excellent.
Excellent. Yeah.
Very good. Very
I've had
good.
This pain you, in my back.
No, I've had the pain, and it's from you.
Hey, you know, I'm asking you questions. If you ever need any medical questions in the future, give me a call.
Oh, yeah. By all means.
I just thought of a great show idea. If a chiropractor was doing a show, it could be called Back Talk.
Hey.
You get it?
Yeah.
Do you get it?
It's a million dollar idea.
Another $1 million idea down the tubes.
You should patent that one, definitely.
Yeah. I hope nobody heard it because somebody might steal the idea.
Oh, man.
Anyway, Julia, we've killed 2 minutes of your allotted three.
So,
what's up?
Okay.
What can we do?
My parents just bought me a Nissan Sentra.
How nice of them.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have it. But the thing is that this is my first car. I realize that owning a car is just a huge, huge responsibility. And I know nothing about cars. So I was hoping that you could tell me the absolutely essential things I need to know about owning and maintaining a car.
Well, you got to walk it at least twice a day.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not owning a car is not as bad as owning a dog.
Okay.
By the way, my brother has discovered with his dog a violation of the laws of industrial stoichiometry.
My dog.
Not to change the subject.
My dog puts out more than he takes in.
Okay.
I mean, can this be possible?
Biologically, I don't think so, no.
I've measured it. And unfortunately, I have really measured it, and she's putting out more than she takes in. I don't know how she can do this. Unless she's trying to tick me off.
Oh, well, that's it.
Anyway, getting back to your center, I'm sorry. And you've squandered another minute of your
three, Julia.
Oh, I was going to say that if I were going to boil it down, check the oil once in a while.
Okay.
And look at the tires and make sure they're not flat.
Okay.
Otherwise, you can
And the way you make sure they're not flat is you actually buy a tire pressure gauge.
Too hard.
Okay.
No. Well, first of all, you should take the car into somebody every 3 months or so.
Okay.
Just to, you know, change the oil, for example. And while it's there, they're going to look around at things. And of course, for the first several years, they're not going to find anything wrong, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you need to get a little more diligent about it. But you'll have forgotten that. So you need to call us back when you're halfway through medical school.
Okay.
And we'll tell you what to do from that point on. But you really, if you follow the maintenance schedule in the book, you really can't go too wrong.
Okay.
But more than that, you do need to check your tires, and you do need to familiarize yourself with what's under the hood so you'll know how to check the oil, and you'll know how to check if there's enough coolant in it and all that.
Okay.
Do you have someone who can show you the ropes?
Well, my parents live hours away, so unfortunately they're not here.
Oh, but you're going to be going home for some holiday.
Yeah.
Bring your laundry or something, and you'll get the rundown.
Yeah. They'll show me how to actually open the hood of my car, hopefully, yeah.
Well, congratulations on getting into medical school.
Okay, thank you.
And study hard.
Okay, yeah.
And don't forget us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
God knows, and if you ever use the back talk idea, cut me in.
I'll let you know. Okay.
See you, Julia.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK.
We gave her some great advice, didn't we? What? We're useless, you know? I'm beginning to realize we're useless. I don't know what we're here for. What? She asked a perfectly legitimate question.
We're here to steer the ship.
We're here to steer the ship. I like it. I don't get it, but I like it.
No. We directed her to her father.
That's
he.
Ship.
He's going to
tell her.
Exactly. He's going to have that. He's going to put his arm around her shoulder and say, Julia, it's time you learned about cars.
Yeah.
So that's all we have to
the
do.
The facts of life.
Direct
so to
people
speak.
To the answers. You can't give
that's
the answers
it?
All the time. Yeah. And I realize there's a great risk in giving answers.
Because they could be
you could be wrong. Oh, God. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Ship Talk.
Yeah, my name is Richard from New Orleans.
How you doing, Richard?
Oh, pretty good.
What's happening?
Well, I've got a 78 Toyota Land Cruiser. My wife has named it Bam Bam.
Yeah.
And it backfires, and you're driving it down the street, and it kind of hesitates, and then it backfires. And the problem is when it backfires, it's like a tank going off. And it shoots flames, which is kind of alarming to my neighbors and people walking down the street and so forth.
And does it always backfire when you're accelerating?
No, because you can take your foot off the gas and just kind of be cruising, and the engine will start kind of hesitating. So it gives you a warning, and then it backfires.
Do you know if this thing has an air pump on the motor?
No, I do know it used to be a California emissions vehicle.
Bingo.
And all that stuff was clipped off.
Oh.
Not by me.
No, but
of course not.
But you've owned it for a long enough time so that it didn't do this with all this stuff disconnected. Now it's doing it.
Right. I've had it about 5 years, and for the first 2 or 3 years it didn't do this.
Man.
So how was Mardi Gras this year?
Great.
You know, I remember, this may help you. When we were kids, we used to do a kind of a fun thing.
Yeah, it was fun for us.
And we used to drive through the Sumner Tunnel here in Boston, which was a two-lane tunnel. One lane led from Boston to East Boston under the channel.
Yeah, directly north.
And take you, right, directly north to East Boston, and would eventually take you to Logan Airport. And this tunnel was, I don't know, is still there. I don't know, a mile and a half long. It's pretty long.
Yeah.
And when we were in the tunnel, which was partially downhill, we would turn the ignition switch off for a second or two and then turn it back on. And
and scare the hell out of 10 guys behind
the result would be the biggest explosion and ball of fire coming out of your tailpipe. Because what would happen is while you had the key off, the pistons were still going up and down and sucking gasoline into the cylinders. And, of course, the exhaust valves are opening and pushing that unburned gas into the exhaust system.
So now when you got the key off, you're filling up the cylinders and the exhaust system with unburned gas. Isn't that great?
And as soon as you turn the key back on and that first spark occurred, you would ignite not only the fuel in the cylinders, which is what's supposed to happen, but a lot of that gasoline that was trapped in that confining exhaust system, and you would create a significant explosion. And it may be, then, that you have a fault with your ignition system. Even a bad switch could cause this. But I would think it'd be more likely would be intermittent spark, and that's why you feel it beginning to miss.
Exactly. When you have the little miss, that's the equivalent of, in my brother's example, turning off the ignition switch.
Yeah, because it does lose. So it's almost like suddenly, you're all of a sudden you're pulling a boat or something.
Right.
I think this thing has an electronic ignition system. It has something called an igniter.
Probably.
I don't remember. I haven't worked on a 78 Land Cruiser in a while. But that would be the thing I'd be most likely to suspect. That's the igniter.
I would just replace the igniter because no one's going to be able to figure out if it's any good. Because it's a transient problem, as we call it.
Yeah, but you might want to look at the switch first. That's a lot cheaper and it may be easier to do.
Excellent.
But it is definitely, in my humble opinion, an ignition problem. Good luck, Richard.
Thank you much, guys.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255.
Got it.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Chooch.
Chooch?
Chooch. Now look, don't start.
Wait a minute, how do you spell it?
C-H-O-O-C-H. It means mule.
Yeah, well, it does.
Well, it's okay. It works. I had some guy from Sicily, when he heard my name, he kissed me on both cheeks and he said, it's better to be like a mule and nobody walk on you.
How do you actually spell chooch?
I don't know.
C-I-U-C-C-I-O.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Is that right? That's it, huh?
No, it's not. It's actually chuco, but chucho, that's good enough.
Oh, okay.
Chooch. Yeah, where are you from, Chooch?
Taos, New Mexico.
No kidding.
Well, I love Taos, New Mexico.
Do you really?
I do.
Don't move here.
Don't move there?
No.
It's too crowded. Nobody goes there anymore.
No, we don't want nobody.
You don't want me?
No.
No.
Well,
she's right.
You can move here if you'll fix my car, because I'm somebody's. You got some music like, duh, duh, duh.
Oh, this is a melodrama?
I'm somebody's poor grandma, you know?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man.
So what's the car and what's the problem?
It's an 82 Honda Accord hatchback, okay?
Yeah.
So when it's under 50 degrees outside, I put the car in gear and I drive down the street and I'm okay until I get to about second gear, and then it starts going da-tuk-a-da-tuk-a-da-tuk-a-da-tuk-a. And then each successive gear is kind of easier until I get to fourth. And then the whole car starts vibrating, which can be fun. But I don't know if it's the carburetor or what. It's like,
no, I'm not sure I understand the problem yet.
Okay.
You start up the engine. Under 50 degrees outside.
Right.
It starts right up.
Right.
You start to drive. You put it in first gear. You let out the clutch, and it moves.
Yes.
Nothing unusual has happened yet.
No. What it starts doing, as soon as you start driving it, as soon as you get above, let's say, 10 miles an hour, it starts to feel like it's going to hesitate. It starts hesitating.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and so then, but it seems like each successive gear that you put it in, the hesitation is less.
So you mean it seems to run better?
Yes, yes.
As you shift up the gears?
Yes, yes, until I get to fourth gear, and then it starts trembling all over. It's like, ooh.
Yeah.
Does it idle smoothly? That was my question, too.
Okay, oh, that's a good point. Because after I drive the car a while, if it's still below 50 degrees, then it starts idling really fast. Like, it goes, and if I don't keep my foot on the brake, I'm going to, like, end up in the back seat with the people in front of me.
Well, here's what's wrong. Here's what's wrong with your car.
Okay.
The automatic choke stopped working.
Oh.
Exactly. This is a simple solution.
Well, it may not be simple to fix, but the choke is no longer opening. as it should. It's supposed to be a thermostatically controlled device that opens the choke.
Uh-huh.
And that stopped working, and it's fouling the spark plugs.
Uh-huh.
And that's causing the tuka-tuka-tuka-tuka-tuka.
Oh, okay.
So you need to take it someplace where they can find out and fix, find out what's wrong with the choke and then fix that. And at the same time, maybe they can put some new spark plugs in it.
Do they need anything special to figure out what it is? I mean, do I have to bring it to one of those places with those big machines?
No.
You want just the opposite. You want a place that has no computers, just a guy who's older than, say, 45 or 50.
Oh.
That's what you want.
Hey, maybe he'll take me with a package.
You don't. Oh, man.
Yeah, are you having fun out there in Taos?
I'm 50 years old. I'm somebody's grandmother, and I'm slicing onions in the kitchen because I'm Italian, and that's all I know how to do.
Well, good for you.
Hi, hey, what the hell?
Good luck with your automatic choke, kid.
Thank you very much.
See you, George.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Okay, now, Tommy, do you remember last week's puzzler? I didn't think so. It concerns early American history and statistics.
Oh, I flunked statistics and I never took early American history, so I got
No, you didn't have to take it. You were there. Well, sit tight. We'll be back in a minute.
Headed down life's crooked road, lots of things I never know. And because of me not knowing, I now pine. Trouble gone in the trail, spent the first 5 years in jail. Should have read that detour sign. Detour. Oh, these bitter things I find, should have read that detour sign. When I got right to the place where it said about face, I thought that all my worries were behind. But the further I go, the more sorrow I know. Should have read that detour sign.
And even though the IRS stamps the network's returns audit mercilessly whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
So, you know I'm pretty good at giving lousy car advice, right? But did you also know that I'm a financial planner? Well, actually, I'm not. And the 71,000 certified financial planner professionals who sponsor this podcast want you to remember that just about anyone can call him or herself a financial planner. Don't be fooled by chumps like me. Work with a certified financial planner who's been properly vetted to uphold the highest standard in education and experience and is required, ready for this, to put your interests above their own. What a concept, huh? Well, visit letsmakeaplan.org and find a CFP pro near you. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're here to talk, of course, about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah.
And here it is.
It has to do with early American history and statistics. That's what you said.
Well, math anyway.
Okay.
Statistics, I suppose, that bridge of mathematics.
Okay. I still have no idea what it is.
Christopher from Atlanta writes, my friend Max says to me, I just read that three of the first five presidents of the United States died on the 4th of July. What do you think the odds of that happening are? I say, no idea. But I'll give you 10-to-1 odds that I can name at least one of the three. Of course, he takes the bet. Now, he says, he goes on, he says, I don't know anything about the first five presidents except that their names are, what? Who's the first?
George Washington.
There you go. Second.
No idea.
Adams.
Adams.
John Adams.
Oh.
Jefferson. Right.
Tommy Jefferson was number three.
Yeah.
Okay.
George Jefferson.
So I got George Washington.
Madison. Right?
Yeah, Dolly Madison.
And Bill Monroe. That order, okay?
Yeah, got it.
How am I justified in offering my friend 10-to-1 odds when guessing randomly I have only a 3-in-5 chance of guessing correctly? So that's the question. What makes me so sure I can guess at least one of them on the first try? I preface this by saying this was for the kids in the audience.
Kids, huh?
Well, I think so.
Kids are supposed to know this?
Well, if it hadn't been Monroe... If Monroe hadn't been one of the three, he was the fifth guy.
Yeah.
That's the guy he's guessing.
Oh.
If he hadn't been...
Why would you have to say that?
Why would you say three of the first five? The thing would have said three of the first four. Monroe must be one of them. Otherwise...
Well.
Nothing.
Well, he could be.
Well, you could,
one
you,
of them.
Well, you could have said three of the first 20.
Exactly.
Well, that would have been pretty stupid, wouldn't it?
Well, sure, but three of the first five, you could have said that just to obfuscate.
I know.
And it would be true.
No, he says he read it someplace. And wherever he read it would have said three of the first four if Monroe weren't among them.
Yeah, you're right.
Of course. Don't try to cloud the issue.
Yeah.
Shit, I think...
Yeah. He read it somewhere. If he read it somewhere. But if I were trying to trick you...
As you always are.
I mean, that would be a great way to trick you. I could have said three of the first seven. Oh, and you would have picked number seven. You'd have been wrong.
No, maybe he died...
Because it was Monroe.
Maybe he died the fourth
try. Is it true?
I have no idea. Did you check this, Catherine? You didn't check it.
I don't believe it.
Mayor, did you check it?
No.
No.
Nobody
checked.
Dennis.
It's probably completely bogus.
No,
it's all right. We'll get more mail.
It doesn't matter.
Do we have a winner?
Because we have a winner anyway.
Okay.
The winner this week is April Ralph from League City, Texas. And for having her correct answer chosen from among the thousands of correct answers that we got this week, April will get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, with which, as you know, she can get 1¾ copies of our best-selling marital counseling CD, Men Are From GM, Women Are From Ford, all about couples and cars.
Indeed.
1¾ copies. This is the most brilliant marketing strategy anyone has ever devised. We give people $25 and nothing costs $25.
This is brilliant.
I mean, I taught marketing for 40 years.
Yeah, you didn't come up with
this. I never came up with this.
Well, that's why they drugged you out of the field.
Man.
Anyway, we'll have a new...
It's like when you get those free... We get a free vacation.
Yeah, one night, 7 days. I'm still working on it. Anyway, we'll have a new puzzler still to come, so stick around for that. In the meantime, you can call us about your car. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Dorothea, and I'm calling from Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Dorothea.
Bowlesburg?
Bowlesburg. We're 3 miles outside of State College, home of the Nittany Lions.
Got it.
Centrally isolated.
Centrally isolated.
Which is how I feel.
I like it, man.
I didn't grow up here. I've only been here a year.
Oh, when is your sentence over?
I'm not sure. I think it's long term.
Oh, long term, huh?
So I'm settling in.
What did you do? Who'd you marry to deserve this?
An engineer.
Oh, yeah.
We're not going anywhere anytime.
No. All right, Dorothea. Sorry about that.
Maybe we can help you plan your getaway. So what's up?
We've got to make sure your car's running every day.
That's right. I have a 1990 740 turbo Volvo wagon.
Really?
We bought used just over 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it was in great shape with about 114,000 miles on it. Well, about a year ago, I was in an accident, and the car plowed across the front of my car and did about $5,000 in damage, which
wow.
With Volvos, everything's expensive, so I guess I shouldn't.
Oh, yeah, $5,000. That's two headlights and a wiper blade.
Exactly. That's just the headlight cover. So ever since then, we've noticed, at least we're blaming it on this, I've had an oil leak. And it seemed kind of subtle, and it's gotten a little worse.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband checked some bolts, and he wants to put it on a lift and clean the engine to locate the leak. And our old mechanic in Harrisburg, who we trusted, where we moved from, told me that I'd probably need to do a black light process, which he doesn't do.
Whoa, well, sounds psychedelic, dude.
to find the leak. But my husband said if it turns out to be a rear seal, it's going to be expensive and maybe not worth for the age of our car.
Oh, so he doesn't want to blacklight it because he doesn't want to know the results.
Right. Now, I feel like if it happened since the accident, then if it's the place who fixed its fault.
You can forget about that strategy.
I don't think the accident caused the oil leak.
No?
And if it did, you'd never prove it.
No, you can forget about that completely.
Unless the block is cracked, for example.
Yeah, right.
But it's unlikely. But your husband is unnecessarily alarmed. Because he has in his mind the words rear main seal, which is the absolute worst possible
scenario.
Place that the oil could be leaking from. But there are dozens, if not more, other places the oil could be leaking from, which are far more innocuous and less expensive to fix.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there are a few places that are likely candidates. The valve cover and cam seal was one place. The front seals, the crank and cam seals, are another place. The rear main seal is yet a third place, except in most cases, the rear main seal hardly ever leaks on Volvos.
Oh, really?
Unless something called...
They get smashed in the front.
Right, by an accident. No, unless something called the flame trap is plugged.
Flame trap.
Yeah. So have them check the flame. And it may be just coincidental. At least that's what we always tell our customers when they complain. You're not going to believe it, but this is purely coincidental.
I'm going to go in there with my list and say, this is what Click and Clack says.
Ask them to check the flame trap. If they're not familiar with Volvos, they won't know what the flame trap is.
Okay.
But if that is plugged up, it'll cause any of the seals to leak, but first it causes the rear main seal to leak. And we've had instances where we've replaced a plugged flame trap and the leak has gone to zero.
Oh, really?
Pray for the valve cover gasket.
The valve cover gasket.
Or the flame trap.
Or the flame trap. Thank you.
See you, Dorothea.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Barry from down in Tampa.
Barry.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So what's up, man?
I sort of missed where the road started and the ditch started.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
At the edge of the road, and I managed to completely submerge the engine compartment on the car.
Oh.
Did you really? This is some ditch.
I did. It's Florida. We have big ditches here.
Yeah, this is Lake Ditch.
Yeah.
So
you actually...
Were you inebriated or otherwise impaired?
I have no good stories like that to go with it. I was on my way to do the laundry.
No, you're always going to have a story. You just barely hit the ditch. An alligator
grabbed your tire.
Grabbed out and pulled you down. Oh, no, it's too late now. You probably
late.
Didn't even put a claim in.
I wish I had, like I said, if I had a good story, this would all be...
Well, you should have called us first.
So
the entire front of the car is down in the ditch, and you didn't even get wet? Oh, you did.
My feet got wet.
Your feet got wet, yeah.
The angle it was at, it filled up the floorboards.
I got it.
In the car, but I actually didn't get to the seat of the car. It was...
Yeah.
Steep angle.
Okay, I got the picture.
Got it. I get the whole scenario.
After my mechanic drained about 8 gallons of water out of, everything, I actually thought it was running a little bit smoother than it had been before I doused it.
Really?
And he told me one of his secrets when an engine's running rough...
is to sprinkle water in it.
Is that, he pulls off a small vacuum tube, pulls in a little bit of water.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if that's, like, something my mechanic has in his own mind or if that's true.
It's a well-known fact. In fact, there are devices which you can actually buy to put water into the engine as you're driving for this and other reasons.
Well, they're used primarily in diesel engines. What the water does is it helps to bust up carbon deposits.
Mm-hmm.
So that as you put water into the engine, it will loosen up carbon. But you wouldn't want to put it in like gallons.
No,
you'd
want to put a mist. I think was a little over.
The eight gallons was a lot. Yeah. No,
it's very possible that there was enough moisture in the intake manifold and whatever, so that it loosened up whatever carbon was in there, and as a result, the thing did run more smoothly. Sure.
A little bit.
But it should all be gone by now, and you're probably back to where you were.
No, he decarbonized it. It's running great.
Well, except for the fact the alternator imploded a little later.
Did it? Cool.
But until that happened, the engine was running pretty well.
What kind of a car was this?
The 93 Blazer.
Well, you're lucky that you had a Blazer, because had you had something that were closer to the ground,
you
wouldn't have an engine anymore.
Yeah.
If I'd had something lighter, it might have skipped across the water.
No, what would have happened is you would have sucked water into the engine,
mm-hmm.
and then it would be goodbye.
Yeah, one of the pistons coming up would be trying to compress not air and gasoline, but air, gas, and water. And you would have bent the crankshaft and busted pistons and connecting rods and mm-hmm. blown cylinder head gaskets. I mean, nothing serious, mind you, but a few of those things would have happened.
Yeah. So you were very lucky to have not sucked water into the engine.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it is running better because you have decarbonized the engine.
Okay.
And he's right to a certain extent, and this is something you can do. I mean, we have used this from time to time in the shop, but now we have these expensive chemicals and this fancy machine that does it, so we don't do it for free anymore. We charge people. See you, Barry.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for your call.
Take it easy.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lorraine in St. Louis.
Hi, Lorraine.
Lorraine with an O or an A?
With an A. I'm probably one of the only people around with an A.
Really?
But my mom couldn't spell.
So what's up?
Well, I have an 88 Acura Legend, and it's making a funny noise, kind of like a... Goes on for about 5 seconds. If I apply the brake, it usually stops, but not always.
So it happens when you're driving along?
When I'm driving along. It usually also happens, especially when I've first started up and I'm pulling out of the driveway.
St. Louis, huh?
Gotcha.
So let me get this right. You pull out of the driveway, you begin to hear this, what I have to describe as a scraping noise.
Well, not so much as
a rattling.
Kind of like if you put a baseball
card in the spokes of a bicycle.
Under the spokes of your bicycle, that's right.
And as soon as you touch the brakes?
Yeah, pretty much so. But not always. It doesn't always stop when I touch the brakes.
Oh, really?
Well, it doesn't always stop when you... It's these little words, you know.
Oh, my brother's passing a brainstone.
If we could just chop out certain words, then life would be so simple. It doesn't always stop when you step on the brakes.
No.
All right. Well, then. But
where'd you get this number?
This is bakeacake.com.
Yes, it is.
Well, I do have one other clue on this.
Good. We need all the clues.
I started noticing this in about October, and it was just really bad throughout the winter. And now that the weather is perked up a little and the temperatures have come up, I'm not hearing it as frequently.
Oh. Where do you think this noise is coming from?
Well, inside the engine compartment.
Very close to you?
No, it actually sounds like it's probably about 3 feet forward of me.
Oh, shut up.
For a minute, I thought my brother was hot on the trail or something.
Well, I was.
Yeah, his tail was pointing and his nose was in the air, but evidently it didn't pan out.
And when I first had noticed this,
wait. Is it more likely to happen when you have the defroster on?
No. Because, no.
I'm going to ask you one more time, Lorraine. Is it more likely to happen when you have the defroster on?
Do you know the penalties for perjury?
Well, here's what I thought it could be. It could be a bad air conditioner compressor.
That's 3 feet. The distance is right.
I'm going for distance, that's all.
It's a geographical oddity.
I'm going for distance only.
I was going for sound.
No.
I'm going for sound.
Too many possibilities. Distance is good.
I mean, in the winter, when the weather was not as friendly as you say, then I suspect that you had the heater on all the time,
mm-hmm.
and therefore the blower motor was running
all the time. And the defroster.
Mm-hmm. And now that you said the weather has perked up a little bit, you've probably turned off the fan.
No, I still run it.
Have you had the air conditioner on, or are you just running the heat?
Actually, I've had the air conditioner on, too.
And it hasn't made the noise?
It has made the noise.
You have to do an experiment. See if the noise goes away with the... Turn all that stuff off.
Okay.
And see if the noise disappears completely.
Okay.
And if the noise goes away, call us back. If it doesn't go away, don't call us back. We don't want to talk to you. We don't want to see you again. Don't darken our airwaves again, Lorraine.
Hey.
Hey, thanks a million.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
It's been a lot of fun, Lorraine. You're a good sport. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Boy, I like this new method of intimidating the caller. They don't give the answer you want.
We'll try anything.
Put a little pressure.
We're getting desperate.
Hey, Tommy, it's time we took a little break so our favorite public radio stations can identify themselves.
And public radio listeners can take their fingers out of their ears now.
We'll be back with a brand new earth-shattering puzzler in just a minute.
You talking about you had a wild night last night? I'm here to tell you that ain't nothing at all. Now flying through the shadows in the Colorado moonlight, singing a song about a wrecking ball. We've been a rocking, honey. We just a rolling money. We gonna try to kick a hole in the sky. You try that rhythm like a ball peen hammer, mama. You make John Henry wanna wake up the fly. Look out! Look out!
And even though levitating yogis fall out of the air whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
A quick shout-out to one of our sponsors, Casper. They're an online retailer for mattresses. Now, Casper mattresses are American-made and obsessively engineered for comfort, so you can fall asleep during the first few seconds of our show and not have to toss and turn until the first call before nodding off. They use two technologies, latex foam and memory foam, to give just the right amount of sink and bounce. Think 82 Lincoln Town Car. The best thing is that they have a risk-free trial. You can try out your Casper mattress for 100 days with free delivery and returns. It's outrageous comfort at a polite price, so go to casper.com/cartalk to check out their options. They even have a special offer for listeners of this podcast. Use the promo code CARTALK and get another $50 off. And we promise they won't try to sell you the rust proofing. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I hope it's as good as last week's. That was great, man.
Ha, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk.
All right, I take it back.
Yeah, no, that was last week's was a good. Well, this is interesting, I think.
Go ahead.
You know, we all of us remember from our high school or junior high school physics or whatever that the moon has a fraction of the Earth's gravity. In fact, I think we were all told that it's a sixth.
That's the number I remember.
And when those NASA guys faked the landing on the moon, they were very careful to show the astronauts bounding from one spot to another like
they
were
do that?
Kangaroos. Well, because a simple, you know, a simple spring of the feet would take you many, many feet. Everyone became a broad jumper.
I mean, how did they fake it?
Springs.
Springs in the shoes.
Wires.
And wires, what? Invisible wires.
Have you never seen Peter Pan? So if, for example, if you had a bathroom scale, right, and you put your 600-pound Bengal...
Mother-in-law.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, man.
If you put your 600-pound Bengal tiger
on
this bathroom scale, and then you were to transport the tiger and the bathroom scale to the moon,
mm-hmm.
and they would weigh, the Bengal tiger or the mother-in-law would weigh 100 pounds. So you with me?
I'm with you on that, yeah.
But is there anything that you can think of that if measured in the same way would weigh more on the moon than it does on the Earth? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on the back of a $20 bill and send it to. Now, I have one answer. There may be more than one.
It only works if the number is two.
And is there deception and obfuscation and unclarification? You betcha! Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt02238, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com.
Wait a minute now. Obfuscation. You said is there anything you can think of if you did the same thing would weigh more? Is that what you said? More on the moon?
Yeah.
More?
More. Not more than a sixth. More.
More than itself.
More than it weighs here.
Yeah. I got it.
You with me?
Yes.
All right.
Wow.
Anyway, if you have a question about your car...
As my mother would say, what are you, crazy?
If you have a question about your car or anything, we don't really care.
I'm ready to talk about movie reviews, anything.
Yeah. How about a Dell H?
A Dell H, that was great.
Give us a call, 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chris. I'm calling from Oakland, California.
Hi, Chris.
Oh, wait a minute. Oakland.
Oakland, yeah.
Oakland. So let's see. There are seven ways to spell Chris in Oakland. Does it start with a Q?
No.
How about a K?
I'm originally from Portland. And
from Portland. Okay, it's a CH.
No, it's a K.
It is a K.
Yeah.
Close enough. From Portland. So you went from Portland to Oakland. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a 1983 pickup truck.
See, now, if we were one of those jury consultants, we would say that you're lying.
I do, though.
I don't know that. I'm sure you're not, but the way you hesitated, what's up?
Okay, I admit it. It's my dad's pickup truck. He owns it.
Okay, that's better.
I'm sort of borrowing it.
We'll have no more of that.
We rely on total honesty, Chris, because don't forget, my brother may know something about cars, but I come up with my answers totally, how do you say it?
Unencumbered by the thought process.
Encumbered by the thought process, right. So if I don't know everything truthfully, then I'm out of the loop.
Right, he has to use all those other little signals and, you know, rolling chicken bones and all that to come up with the answers. So,
okay, so is there a problem with this little sweetheart?
Yes, I just put in a new starter, a new battery, a new carburetor, and a new distributor cap and all of the works like that. I had it done, and now it still won't start.
Ooh.
I consider that to be a problem, yeah.
No.
And so now when I get in the truck, it goes vroom, 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 crunch, and it does that about 4 times, and then it'll start.
Uh-huh. Oh, it does start.
Oh.
It does start after it crunches about 4 or 5 times.
Well, what was the problem before? Is it exactly the same as it was before you put all these pieces in?
No, before it was kind of, it just wouldn't start, and the starter motor would continue to go. And it burned out the starter motor, and they thought it was the battery. Now, I don't have, like, the most confidence in this particular mechanic who put in the starter, though.
Yeah.
Because he put in 3 starters before he actually found one that went with my truck.
Uh-huh.
You think that maybe when he put in the wrong starter that it could have messed up something else?
Well, we got to go back because I'm not sure I understand everything.
I understand it. What happened was one day you turned the key
right.
And you started it, but the starter never disengaged.
Right.
So the starter just kept turning. It right. fried the starter, killed the battery.
Right.
And the carburetor.
Yeah. The carburetor got messed up when
okay.
it was at the people who were messing with the starters.
So how long did you drive with the starter continuing to run?
Well, when it would do that,
yeah.
I would disconnect it immediately, and then I'd connect the battery again and start it again, and then it would start fine.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now it's all coming together.
Good for you. Who taught you that trick?
I taught it myself while I was kind of, like, frantic.
Yeah,
you learn quick truck. When you're driving a Nissan pickup truck.
Very smart, Chris.
But it did eventually burn out the starter motor after a while.
Okay.
Well, and it's entirely possible that when that was going on that you damaged the flywheel.
Yeah.
The flywheel.
The flywheel. Mm. It's almost a certainty that you chewed up some teeth.
Well, the specific thing that you damaged was something called the ring gear. The ring gear is pressed onto the flywheel.
Uh-huh.
And it is the gear that is engaged by the teeth on the starter drive gear.
So uh-huh. when he replaced these starters, did you actually view any of the starters so you know what they look like?
I viewed one when I was the next day when he put it.
Yeah.
He said it was fine.
So you saw those little gears that were sticking out the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you turn the key to the start position, those little gears jump out and they engage with the gears on this ring gear.
Uh-huh.
With the teeth on this ring gear.
So right. He puts a new starter in.
Right.
He turns the key, and what happens with the first new starter? Goes.
Right. Well, it started 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
And just enough so that I wasn't stranded in, like, East Oakland at 9 o'clock in the, the night. And so it was at least good enough for that. But the next day when I went to turn it on, it just, you could hear it clicking, but it wasn't doing anything.
Okay. Yeah. So it may be that starter was bad, and then he puts another one in, the same thing happens, or similar thing happens
right.
with that one. And now you have a starter in there that at least starts it, but it sounds awful.
Right. It just sounds really, really horrible.
Yeah.
It wakes up my neighbors. They come over and go, could you fix your car?
Well, I hate to say it, but
I just sleep in on a Saturday. And
here's what you do. Go back to this guy.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
No, because I think that he is completely insane.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what you like about him?
No, I'm not going back to that guy. I had a different guy do my carburetor, and they seemed sane. But this guy, it seems like he's just...
Yeah, I think you're right.
All right, so this guy butchered it.
Right.
He may have, and he may not have, and it may be impossible to tell. It's possible that your original starter damaged the ring gear, but you have to find that out. And what you'll need someone to do is remove the starter... at which point you can then see a little piece of the ring gear. And what you want the...
If you're underneath the truck.
Okay.
Yeah, you actually can see it from
actually,
the...
if you're hanging over with your head way down
but you
in
ain't
the
gonna
engine
You're not going to see it. They're going to see it.
They'll figure it out.
And they're going to put a chalk mark on it and then turn the engine 360 degrees, turn the crankshaft of the engine, so they can look at each and every tooth. And they may find that there are a whole bunch of them that are all chewed up. And if there are, then you've got to replace that ring gear.
And how much is a ring gear usually?
Well, it's going to be several hundred dollars because you have to take the transmission out to do it.
Oh, jeez.
You have a standard shift?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this would be a great opportunity to put a new clutch in.
Oh, no.
Tell Dad you need a clutch, too. Or he needs a clutch, rather.
Oh, no. Somebody's going to have to call him, and I don't want it to be me.
We'll call. We'll be happy to call. We'll tell him that you need a clutch and a ring gear. And it's his fault for, I don't know, we'll come up with something clever.
Yeah,
don't
we'll
worry.
Blame him for okay. something.
Trust us.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for calling, Chris.
Sure,
and good luck with the truck.
Thank you.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is John from Burlington.
Burlington what?
Burlington, Massachusetts.
Oh.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't know anyone lived in Burlington. I thought there were just like malls in Burlington.
I have an ethical relational car problem.
Oh, go, man.
Well, I have a 94 Pontiac Grand Prix with 140,000 miles on it.
And you want to sell it to your mother-in-law?
I would love to. the car runs great. It's mechanically impeccably kept.
Mm-hmm.
But the inside of the car is a mess. It has 2 or 3 pounds of sand in it, Dunkin' Donuts wrappers and cups and old newspapers, bodies, everything is in that car.
Who's been driving this car, you?
Me. And like I said, everything, I love to keep it mechanically sound, but the rest I really don't have much interest.
Yeah.
So I have a date coming up with a woman that I really like, but she's a little bit on the classy side. And one side of my friends tell me that I should clean the car because she won't even go near it otherwise.
Mm.
And the other side of my friends tell me that that would be somewhat dishonest and that she should just see me the way I am, which is a messy car.
What else about you is distasteful? I mean, how's your house? Is it a mess?
It's kind of the same. I keep it neat, but not real clean, but mechanically everything is attended to.
So your refrigerator works, but you don't clean the refrigerator.
No.
Oh,
how old are you, John?
38.
You have not been married?
No.
Do anything.
Yeah.
Do whatever it takes.
Yeah,
Sell the car.
Rent the car.
Move out. Rent another apartment for the weekend. I mean, this is a real dilemma.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, I mean, it's a dilemma, except we guys.
We know what
we would all do.
We would all do the same thing.
Yeah.
We'd fumigate the car, clean up the house, and take 3 showers, and we would do anything to
right.
make an impression.
Okay.
On this classy woman. Anything.
Yeah, this may be your last chance.
It might be.
On a more important note.
And sooner or later, she will find out that you misrepresented, but by then, it may be all over
right.
anyway.
It may be too late for her to dump you.
So that's kind of a strategy.
How's the hair doing? You got hair?
I got good hair.
Huh.
You got a lot of it?
Lots of it.
I mean, I've got good hair where I got it, but but I don't have enough of it. So you have good quantity and quality.
Yes.
How's the physique?
Medium, you know, I'm a 38-year-old guy.
Average, you're average guy. How did you?
Would you describe yourself as cuddly?
That's good.
A little bit less than cuddly, but a little bit more than svelte.
When was the last date?
I met her at church last week and went to dinner.
Oh, no, I mean, before her, when was the last date?
Oh, my God.
69.
Tell us, what administration? Like Eisenhower? Nixon?
I used to like Reagan. I thought he was a great president.
All right. So when you went out the other last week, you didn't drive?
No, I met her at the restaurant.
Good thinking.
Yeah.
What does she drive?
A Lexus.
Oh, you're done for. Really. And it's probably neat as a pin.
I mean, it is an ethical dilemma. There's no question about it. But you know what you have to do, and you can tell all your friends.
Right. I
got your ethics right.
You have to lie, lie. And lie.
Yeah. Lie and lie.
You got it?
It's my strategy is to get the deal done, and then she'll find out.
She's going to find out anyway.
That's right. But she ought to have a chance to see your good qualities first.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Because that will ameliorate the mess that's in your car. At some point, she'll be madly in love with you, and then you show her the car, and she'll say, oh, my God.
But it'll be too late.
And then she'll be able to laugh at it.
Right.
She'll say,
How shallow I was to think that something like that was important to me.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. So she'll be the shallow one.
Exactly. Yeah. And you'll just be the liar.
Yeah, that's it.
Great.
Well, John, good luck. And you have to keep us posted.
I will.
No matter what the outcome, good, bad, or indifferent, we may even have you as a guest on Stump the Chumps.
Ah.
So be ready.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thanks for the advice.
Remember, lie your butt off, man.
Okay.
Well, it happened again. You have squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his heroic storm-tossed circumnavigation of the Rahway Marriott's breakfast buffet, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our interpretive dance instructor is Tristan Shout. Our staff alpinist is Ariana Topiet. Our staff ornithologist is Seymour Robbins.
Oh!
Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Aravindo. Our director of Pavlovian research is Isabel Ringing. Our Russian chauffeur is Bikov Andropov. The banker at Car Talk Plaza Poker Games is Nikolai Putin. Our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Louis Dewey. Known to the Kierkegaard quoting grocery clerks in Harvard Square. That's Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1512, download other insomnia-curing episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, how to turn your old car into something useful.
Are we talking like Chia Pets here?
No. Vehicle donation.
That's right. Donating the car to this station.
Exactly.
Now, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program is the place where you can turn, say, a 98 Camry with no hubcaps into an episode of Morning Edition.
Can you turn my 77 Fiat into anything?
Sure, anything but a car. Every day we're turning old cars into the programs that you love. Find out how you can participate right now over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR Fire Brigade runs a drill and chops down the studio door whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.